making an advisor pact with each and every one of your ideal clients for the purpose of delivering truly comprehensive financial services at a level that's actually high enough to increase the number of referrals that you receive and the number of introductions that you receive from clients to potential clients. Well, it's not easy, but you can do it. This is the monthly session for the Advisor Pact monthly program. I'm Mark Little, and together we're going to show you how. Now, normally we invest this time each month addressing questions that you've got. We did receive questions this month, but I chose to directly respond to those questions with individual members. And so today I wanted to cover three pieces of content. Now, we're going to have to move quickly, being that we have three pieces of content and we've got 60 minutes on the clock. I've got 20 minutes for each thing I want to cover. So as you look at your GoToWebinar panel, if you have questions for today, go ahead and enter them there. If your question has to do with the content that I'm covering at the time, I'll pause, I'll cover the question. If you have another question that's unrelated to the content that I'm covering today, if you've just got a question having to do with Advisor Pact or implementing Advisor Pact or any issue that you are encountering in trying to serve your clients, then go ahead and enter your question. And the only way that we'll run over today is if there are questions that are unrelated to the content that I want to cover. With those, if those come in, I will stay late. I'll answer the questions. I'll go as long as you have questions. And if you have to go right at the 60-minute point, I fully understand. And just go ahead and do that. When the replay of this session comes live, you can always come back and listen to anything that you missed. All right, being that we have 20 minutes for each segment that I want to cover, I'm already at 17 minutes and 37 seconds into the first content item that I want to cover. I do want to show you what we're going to be covering today. We're going to be dealing with this firmly establishing your ideal client profile. We're going to cover something called the annual recurring revenue exercise, and then we're going to end up discussing the advisor value score. Now, because time is of the essence today, I've got the clock set for 20 minutes for each of these items. So if you hear a loud bell, a gong go off in the background, that's just me trying to stay on track. When we hear the gong, I'll quickly wrap up. We'll move on to the next item and try to cover every single thing today. Now, we are pushing each of these three items are being pushed out to you as individual lessons, content for you to implement. I think what you should consider today's session as being is an overview, but because we needed a quick summary of each of these, we're going to use the video from today's session in the lesson that we push out to you this month. And part of the purpose of today's session is to get you implementing. So there will be enough information provided in each of these three lessons today, just in the overview, kind of the highlights. I'm going to give you the headlines of each of these three, but you'll have enough information to get started. And then sometime in this calendar month, we're at the 15th of the month right now, we'll push out each of these three lessons in a more organized fashion with step-by-step videos, downloadable tools, you know, more detail. Now, all these lessons currently exist on our flagship program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, but it's in a format there where the work is actually done on the system. So what we are creating for you is we're pulling each of these three programs, these three lessons, we're pulling them down and making them standalone so that you can implement them in the Advisor Pact monthly program. Okay, so let's get started. Let's talk about firmly establishing your ideal client profile. Now, this is not a new topic. This is a topic that is covered a lot, but it precedes so much of what you will be doing in making an advisor pact with your clients that we wanted to cover it as one of the fundamental things that need to be done in your business. So, what is an ideal client profile? You know, the question you should be asking is, what kind of clients do you enjoy the most? This is what we're really talking about. When you've got a community of clients. If each and every one of them meets your ideal client profile, then you've got a community of clients who meet the profile of clients that you enjoy working with the most. So think about it right now. Think about your top four or five clients, however many clients you've got currently. Think about the ones, focus on the ones at the top. So who are your best clients? Who are your best four or five clients? Think about what is it about them. Try to think in terms of profiling the clients that you feel like you serve the best currently. You know, who are the clients that give you energy? There's an old adage having to do with the 80-20 rule. Many of you are familiar with the 80-20 rule. It's also called the Pareto principle. We have adopted the 80-20 rule as a central theme in the Advisor Pack monthly program. And we talk about the 80-20 rule a lot. And basically, the 80-20 rule says that 80% of the results come from 20% of the inputs. So in other words, there are a very few number of inputs that that represent 80% of your results. So one way to look at that 80-20 would be to say, you know, 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients. So that may or may not be true. It's more of a concept than it is the actual 80-20 numbers being correct. So it might be 70-30, it might be 90-10. When I first applied the 80-20 rule to my client community back in 1999, it was far greater than 80% of the revenue came from the top 20% of the clients. So this is the reverse of the 80-20 rule. This goes under the ideal client profile goes under the theory that 80% of your complaints come from 20% of your clients. 80% of your displeasure with this business come from just 20% of your clients. So the other way to look at this ideal client profile is to focus on clients who drain your energy and make sure that your ideal client profile omits those. These are clients who appreciate you. They appreciate everything you do for them, everything you do with them. They are very grateful for what you're doing, and they know what you're doing is very valuable. They understand that the value you're providing is substantial, and they aren't cheap and stingy about the fees. They're not trying to, you know, squeeze every penny of fee they pay from you to get more than they deserve. They understand the value that you provide in their lives. And having an ideal client profile means you're basically drawing a line. You're drawing a line in the sand, so to speak. The line in the sand says that on one side of the line are going to be the clients that we serve best. These are my ideal clients. On the other side of the line is everyone else. So your non-ideal clients. So what we're encouraging you and proposing in the Advisor Pack monthly program is that you keep it very simple. I know in coaching programs throughout history for financial advisors, it's classic to recommend that advisors stratify and segment their client base, that you have A clients and B clients and C clients, and A clients get certain levels of service and B clients get, you know, something less, and C clients get something even less than that, and that you create these striations in your client, draw these lines in your client community. We recommend you don't do that. This is just overcomplicated. Life is very simple if you just have two levels of service, two ways of thinking of the world as far as your clients are concerned. You have ideal clients and you have non-ideal clients. And so let's be very straightforward about this. We're going to recommend that you be very, very strict with this ideal client profile. That's what I did back in the year 1999 when I established much of what we teach today. I had 1,242 clients. I established an ideal client profile, and I chose to only accept, from that day forward, I chose only to accept individuals that I would invite into my client community who met this ideal client profile. So whether you do that or not, let's just suspend judgment on that for the moment. And let's just simply say that we're recommending that you be very strict with your ideal client profile. And what does that mean? That means that you create a community within your client community that you call and segment and call your ideal clients. They receive a certain high level of service. We're in our work with you over the years, we have always recommended that your ideal clients receive what we call truly comprehensive financial services. And we have other lessons on this that if you've either already received or you will be receiving in the months to come, having to do with defining truly comprehensive financial services. We believe that there are 10 client deliverables to this truly comprehensive financial services. They cover all the five major areas of personal finance. That is money management, financial planning, insurance, estate planning, and tax. And basically that you take a very holistic approach and you ensure that everything gets done in all these 10 areas across these five areas of personal finance in the toolkit. For those that are using the toolkit, our flagship program, we have 143 deliverables checkpoints that fall underneath these 10 client deliverables. Be that as it may, that's what we define as the services that the ideal clients receive. Literally everything having to do with coordinating their personal finance. So that would be your ideal client community. And then, of course, everyone who doesn't meet that profile receives something different, something substantially less, something starkly contrasted with what I just described. So you have two communities of clients, your ideal client community that strictly meet your ideal client profile, and then your non-ideal client community, which is undefined. It's everybody else. So let's just go through it. So what is your ideal client profile? It's a profile of the client you serve best. It includes traits and attributes of the individual, so personality traits and attributes. It includes a financial component. It has to include this, in my opinion. It needs to have a minimum requirement of some sort. Now, some clients get itchy palms with this, and it makes them very nervous, but I'm telling you, from having done this for quite a long time and coached literally hundreds of advisors all over the world with this, this has to be in place for two reasons. One is primarily to avoid embarrassment with non-ideal clients. If you don't have some kind of a financial component, a minimum requirement of what it takes to work with you, then when a non-ideal client comes in with less money, then they're embarrassed to find out that they're never going to be a part of your ideal client community if they just don't meet the financial part of it. And I think the other concern of advisors is if you put that financial component in your ideal client profile, in other words, a minimum of some sort, that your ideal clients are going to have some sort of toxic reaction to this. The reality is, and we've researched this, ideal clients, as they learn that you have a strict ideal client profile, they go down the list and they look at the criteria, and when they come to that minimum, they're nonplussed. They have no reaction. They just kind of look at it like all the others, and mentally they say, yeah, that's me, and they move on. There is no reaction. So there is no toxic reaction describing your ideal client profile in terms of a financial minimum. The key is that this is what is the central piece when it comes to building your ideal client community. If you have a stricter criteria in how you define and allow and invite clients into your ideal client community, stricter than clients have when they come in seeking a financial advisor, that is going to be impressive to potential ideal clients. So think about this for a minute. You see printed everywhere in financial journals and newspapers and magazines and online, there's all these articles about how to pick a financial advisor. It's interesting. They're not consistent. They tend to be self-serving. Usually, often it's a financial advisor writing these lists. But the point is, you know, if a client has any criteria at all regarding how they're going to select an advisor, it's usually not consistent, and it will never be as strict as your ideal client profile. In other words, if you have a better sense, a better vision of what the profile of the client is the only profile that you'll accept into your ideal client community. The fact that you have a better, clearer idea of the profile of clients that you'll accept than the client has of the advisor that they're seeking is going to be very, very impressive to many potential ideal clients. So this is key to building an ideal client community because it is intuitively very appealing to potential ideal clients that you have these high standards. It's not something they typically hear when they go into the average financial advisor's office if they're shopping around for a financial advisor. If they land in your office and you say, well, here's the profile of the client we serve best, it's very strict and you are strict in enforcing it, then that will be impressive to potential ideal clients. And I think mainly what it does for them is it makes clear the clients you will not accept. So, you know, that's very important in this process. So it should be strictly enforced as far as how you define your ideal client community. What the ideal client profile is not? Well, don't get nervous if what you're thinking is that I'm going to recommend that you only accept individuals business that meet your ideal client profile. I understand many of you have to accept business from non-ideal clients or else you'd be out of business. So I understand there are many new advisors in our program, advisors that are starting over, advisors that have to rely to some extent on revenue from non-ideal clients to survive. And all I can say is ideal clients should know they're a member of your ideal client community. That's how the ideal client profile comes into practical use. They read it, they know they're an ideal client because they meet everyone in the criteria, and you have told them you're a member of my ideal client community. By the same token, non-ideal clients should know they're not ideal clients. So that's very important as well. You're creating this awareness. Non-ideal client services should be starkly contrasted against the ideal client services. In other words, non-ideal clients should receive services that are much less, much lower than the services that are being received by ideal clients. There should be a clear and obvious an incentive for any non-ideal client who's contemplating joining your ideal client community to see the incentive. So if you're offering all these different flavors of services of things you could do for non-ideal clients, I guess what I'm recommending is as a part of this ideal client profile, you stop doing that. That you make a very simple offer, like either A or B. These are the services I provide to non-ideal clients. Here's the services I receive to ideal clients. And there's a clear, stark contrast between the two, creating an incentive for non-ideal clients to join the ideal client community. Ideal clients, our opinion, should receive truly comprehensive financial services, coordinating all their personal financial affairs in all five areas of personal finance. And non-ideal clients should not receive anything that even resembles comprehensive financial services. So what do you do with non-ideal clients? Well, if you're providing truly comprehensive financial services to ideal clients, then what's left for non-ideal clients that's starkly contrasted? Well, many advisors for their non-ideal clients create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. Now, in other places, this might be known as a financial plan. We never call a financial plan in the Advisor Pact monthly program. It is too highly charged as far as compliance, and it is not well defined in our industry what it is. So we recommend you could offer to a non-ideal client, I will create your comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. And in other lessons that we have, we can give you ideas on exactly what that is. If you're transaction-based and you are compensated for products that you're selling, we recommend for non-ideal clients, do not sell them assets under management or a percentage for ongoing like trail commissions or anything like that. What you should be doing is think A-shares, think transactions. If you can charge flat fees for investment advice, like here in the U.S. we have registered investment advisors, you could charge a flat fee to set up a non-ideal client's asset allocation of low fee or no load packaged investment products with no future entanglements or ongoing advice. That's the key. With non-ideal clients, you don't want to have future entanglements or for ongoing advice. And then You can ignore. Oh, there's our gong. We have to move on to the next section. But that you can ignore your own advice. You can pull the file periodically on a non-ideal client, call them up, say, hey, I was just thinking about you. And you can give them advice periodically. They'll be pleasantly surprised that you're over-delivering on your promise for, you know, that you wouldn't be providing ongoing service. And if there are more things to be done in the future, that you can help serve them and you could make revenue in doing it, then that doesn't prevent you from doing that. My point is that there should be little or no overlap between your ideal client services and your non-ideal client service offering. It should be very starkly contrasted. You could tell a client either A, I will be your most trusted advisor coordinating all your personal financial affairs, and that means everything. Financial planning, tax, investment advice, estate planning. We'll look over all your insurance, your risk profile. We'll increase the safety of your strategy. That's our ideal client service. It's ongoing, and we will play accountability coach to you and all your financial professionals. The only other way to work with us is we will create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for X dollars a year. $6,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever you want to charge for that. But it's clearly, starkly contrasted. We create this strategy, and then you implement it. It's kind of up to you as a client to then go and implement this thing. That's clearly, starkly contrasted. The one choice is the best. This is what I did. I offered my ideal client's service, and that was the only choice. If a client met my ideal client profile, I moved forward and potentially invited them into my ideal client community. If they did not meet my ideal client profile, I referred them out to another local advisor that I had already researched, somebody that I trusted, younger advisor that had their heart in the right place and had a very competent approach, and I just referred them out. So one choice is really, in my opinion, best. You establish your ideal client profile, and you only accept clients. That's actually a shortcut. Doesn't seem so at the time. Seems like you're dropping revenue, like letting business go elsewhere. But this is actually the fastest way to grow your business. If that's too terrifying or if it doesn't make sense to you, then two choices are okay. What we've been talking about, two clearly starkly contrasted services, creating a clear A or B option for clients, nothing complicated. Three choices begins to be confusing. So I have this ideal client service offering, and then I have a couple different ways I can work with non-ideal clients. That begins to get confusing. Now, the problem with that, if any of you have, some of our lessons, I've referred to a book, to books written by an author named Dan Ariely, about how it's predictably irrational is one of the books that I love of his. But basically, he's a psychologist who talks about how people are irrational and they rationalize their decisions. But he also talks about how the more choices, the more you'll hear people say, I'll think about it. So this is where confusion begins, even just with three service offerings. And if you have more than that, and I've seen advisors with five or six or seven service offerings or grids that they give clients showing different levels of, you know, depending upon the size of their financial assets and all this, it's all these multiple ways of working with clients. Four is far too many, in our opinion. Three is confusing. Two is okay. One is best. So that is that's basically it. And just to wrap up, the traits and attributes of your ideal client profile, it's a description of personality traits you feel are important. My opinion, you should always include financial delegator as one of your items that defines your ideal client. If you don't, then you have clients that are not financial delegators. Therefore, they want to question every recommendation, and they don't necessarily appreciate the advice. They're just looking for your opinion. You are seeking a financial delegator, in my opinion. But you should also include several other characteristics you feel are important. I'll give you an example here in a minute, and then we'll have to just wrap up and move on. But you know, I have a friend, a very high-level advisor in Florida, that on his ideal client profile, he has it on there that he will not work with that he only works with clients who are in their first marriage. So they have to be married, and they can never have been divorced. So his ideal client profile talks about two spouses that have been working through life together since the beginning. So it could be whatever you want. It could be a geographic location. My very good friend Bill Bachrach feels this is critical. He thinks this should be on every advisor's ideal client profile because he believes the affluent convenience is a big value to affluent people. So the fact that you're, you know, like I live here in San Diego in a little beach village called La Jolla. So like for me, Bill would recommend you have to live in La Jolla. You know, that would be, you know, for example, ideal client profile. It could be a business demographic. Like many advisors like to work only with business owners. So maybe you have business owners as your demographic in your ideal client profile. Some, you could go even more specific and say business founders. So the original business owners are the only people that you work with. Or this is more the business, my business, corporate executives. I have a lot of business owners, but I have a lot of corporate executives. You could say you only work with CEOs. So you could have a business demographic and personal enjoyment. I mean, you have to be a little bit careful with this. I have seen ideal client profiles that say things like golf, you know, have to be a golfer. You know, it's up to you what your ideal client profile is. My only point is, you know, life's short. Make sure that when your ideal client profile is read by a potential client, that, you know, you've got everything on there that that represent clients that you'll enjoy working with. You need to embed Advisor Pact into your ideal client profile. I'll show you in a second how to do this, but don't make protection, attention, coordination, and transparency the headlines for any of your ideal client profile items. That's my recommendation. So let's just go through it. So here's an example ideal client profile, and you'll see what I mean about embedding the Advisor Pact into the profile. So client we serve best is a financial delegator. Our community of clients appreciate and are happy to follow the advice of a team of financial experts coordinated by a single trusted advisor. They're passionate about goals. Our clients realize that achieving their goals requires both money and planning. Our community of ideal clients appreciates our commitment to pay close attention to all the financial details, that's attention, and proactively recommend the inevitable course corrections as required several times each year. They enjoy simplicity. Our clients enjoy the simplicity, freedom, and peace of mind that comes from having all of their financial assets under the watchful eye of a single trusted advisor who provides oversight, coordinating all personal financial affairs. There's coordination again. Here's the financial component. They value our work together. Our clients appreciate advice and guidance. Due to the high level of client interaction and attention, our services make sense for families who have accumulated more than $5 million, whatever the number is for you. And you just basically put whatever your financial component is in there. They focus on what's important. Our clients delegate financial matters so they can focus their valuable time and energy on things in their life that are most important to them. Clients who appreciate an advisor who views their role as to protect financial assets and the financial strategy, allowing clients to focus upon the things which matter most in life. Okay, there's protection. And they appreciate the candid truth. Our clients want to hear the truth from us regarding their financial situation no matter what. Clients who rely upon complete transparency from their advisor. There's transparency. So you see examples here. So we recommend that if you have a goal of closing your business once you've received acquired a finite number of clients, that you put that on your ideal client profile and let everybody know that this is your business plan. This is your business model. So we want you to avoid this. When somebody casually asks you in the future, what's your ideal client profile? We don't want you having to say, you know, I don't have one, or I have several, that's confusing, here they all are, or we serve everybody, we do it all. Instead, it's best for you, when asked if you have an ideal client profile, to simply say, here's the profile of the client that we serve the best. The annual recurring revenue exercise. Now, this is a central tool for organizing your client acquisition activities. It's a tracking system. It's very simple, and my my peers, that is to say Rick Barrera and others that I've worked with for years, we use this tool when we are consulting directly one-on-one with financial advisors. This is a central tool for organizing your efforts and your process around building your business. So what is it? The annual recurring revenue exercise is a simple spreadsheet. So on our flagship program, the toolkit, you know, there are ways with many of these things to do these directly online. But the toolkit software, this program, the Advisor Pack Monthly program, is designed for you to implement the same elements and tools and lessons that we provide on the toolkit, but in a standalone manner. So in the case, in your case, this will simply be a spreadsheet. And as you'll see, it's very easy to maintain. It's a list. It's a list where you list all your clients, both ideal and non-ideal clients. You list all potential clients, so those who are not even yet clients. It allows you to sort in order to create processes for handling each client and potential client scenario. Now, this is where I'll pause and say, so many of you are sitting here thinking, why am I not using my CRM to do this? And you know what? My response would be, you probably could. So if you have a staff person that can set this up and establish tags or categories and do everything that I'm describing here with the spreadsheet in your CRM, then fine. My only request is don't do that yourself. That's a time waster. It's much, if you end up having to go in setting up tags and categories and set, in essence, mild programming on your existing system in order to manage this project, the annual recurring revenue exercise, I would say don't do it. Just set up a spreadsheet. It's easier. Or download from your CRM a CSV or a spreadsheet listing all your clients and non-ideal clients and potential clients. And many CRMs will give you the spreadsheet, at least in a raw form, where all the rows represent all the names. And then you can then come in, and the main objective of this exercise is to create the columns, customize the columns, and we'll get to that in a minute. So there's no client or potential client who falls through the cracks. You know, this is what we're doing with this. We're trying to create a documented process for each situation, each scenario, each type of client or potential client. So you've got clients who have great potential. You have potential clients that have, that you've gone through the process and you know that there's very little potential. So this annual recurring revenue exercise, the objective is to create a process for each category of client, each situation, you know, something that when no client or potential client falls through the cracks, there's always a next step. So let me just fly through it, and then I'm going to give you an example. I'll show you on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit how we describe this exercise there. So when we provide this lesson to you in its full format with all the videos and the downloadable spreadsheet, you know, example template and all of that stuff, you'll see when I show it to you on the toolkit, it's very understandable. So I'm going to fly through it here. It might be a little harder to understand here, but I want to fly through the concepts so that you understand enough about how this works that literally you could, after listening to this session, you could begin the annual recurring revenue exercise right away. So you make a spreadsheet listing all your clients. You have a row for each client family. So don't make separate rows if there's different accounts or if there's, you know, two or three members of the family that you do business with. It's really, we think of a client, an ideal client, as that client family. Sometimes it's a spouse, sometimes it's a single individual, sometimes it's an entire family, like a trust. Regardless, it's one row for each client family. And include all clients on the list. So include all your ideal clients, include all your non-ideal clients. Now, let's talk about the columns. You're going to create a column entitled Next 12 Months. And we're going to focus on a couple of things that need to go in those cells under each person on the list when it comes to the next 12 months. So for each client family, what I want you to estimate is the estimated recurring revenue that you expect over the next 12 months. And let's call that the next 12 months. So that's why we call it the annual recurring revenue exercise. Is what we're going to primarily sort this by, as far as clients are concerned, is recurring revenue. So the clients at the top of the list are going to have the highest recurring revenue, and then all the way down. And when I first did this, just so you know, I had 1,240 clients. Turned out there were only 17 ideal clients. When I sorted them in this manner and just looked at their recurring revenue, then frankly, the list cut dramatically from 1,242 down to 17. There were 1,225 non-ideal clients. But so that's just one column. What you want to do is exclude in this column all one-time revenue or commissions, like we were talking a moment ago, if you're charging a flat fee for financial, for creating a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, or if there's any transaction commissions or anything like that, you're going to exclude those in this column. And then you're going to sort this whole list. The primary sort is to sort by this column. Your client expected to yield you the largest amount of recurring revenue is at the top of the list, and your client to yield you the least amount of recurring revenue will be at the bottom of the list. And in my case, I had eight pages on the spreadsheet of zero. So I had all these clients that there was no recurring revenue expected. And feel free to create extra columns. So I would recommend that you create another column called next 12 months transactional, and that then you've got a column for potential clients. In a moment, you'll see that, and that will allow you to track the potential of clients as far as survival income. And so later you could sort by that column if what you were seeking is your opinion, your speculation about what the potential transaction income might be over the next 12 months if you focused a little more attention on that particular client or potential client. So I would recommend that you do create a column for one-time revenue. So let's keep going through this this concept here. So with these names on the list, you draw three lines of separation. First and foremost, you draw a green line somewhere on that list. Now, what's the green line? Should be that above the green line are your ideal clients. However, if you're just starting out, it's basically above the green line are profitable clients. So however you define the green line is okay. Ultimately, it should be above the green line or your ideal clients. If you're just starting out, or if you have a lot of clients and you're just simply not knowing where to start, one good place to start is to say above the green line. We've established, and for some of you, just establishing what's a profitable client will take some time. You'll have to think about it. But, you know, at the very least, above the green line should be the profitable profitable clients. Below the line are not. And so ultimately this should be above the green line are ideal clients, below the line are not ideal clients. And somewhere on the list, draw a second line and put it in red. So now you've got two lines, a green line, above the green line are ideal clients, below the green line are not. And somewhere there is a second line in red. And so what's that one? Okay, so everything above the red line is definitely profitable. You know, you're not losing money, you're not bleeding money. You are definitely in profitable territory above the red line. Below the red line, and this is the main way to think about this when you're first setting up this spreadsheet, is below the lines are clients who you think, for whatever reason, might not be profitable. They're either not profitable or they're not pleasant to work with. We're mainly focusing on money in this exercise. So, but based on the human time, you know, like if somebody on your staff is constantly holding this client's hand or this client's very unpleasant to work with, you could add human resources as a cost in there. But however you want to measure it, below the red line is what you suspect are not profitable clients. And that then you assign, and again, you may need a column to establish to do this. So you could create a column that says profitable, yes, no, and maybe. And that could be your green, you know, above green is profitable, yes. Below the red line is no, not profitable. And maybe is everything between the green and the red line. So however you want to define it, you're just setting up a scenario where you are kind of categorizing people based on profitability. And you could, of course, sort by that column, yes, no, and maybe. Assign every client below the green line, every client not to receive comprehensive financial services to one of these 12 categories, and feel free to create more categories. But these are the categories that we provide. So I believe this is most of the categories that people fall into. So when you make a list, like picture me, I was doing 1,242 clients originally, one client family on every row. So I created these columns. These are clients that I enjoy. And so for those clients you enjoy working with, you put a yes in that cell, or a Y for yes. You create a category, a column for I do not like this client or enjoy working with this client. And then you could put yes in, yes, I do not enjoy this client, as in the cell next to those client names that you do not enjoy working with. And then you create a column that's client has compensated us significantly through commissions over through other methods over the last 12 months. So let's say you're going to ask a client to join your ideal client community, but they've just done a piece of business with you in the last year where they paid you something really significant, like let's say $10,000 or $20,000 of, I don't know, commission revenue or something. You would want to know that before you start hitting them up for a proposal or a recommendation that they'd be ideal to join your ideal client community, that you at least want to be aware of this scenario, because it may be a little bit different process. Fourth, and you could just, I'll let you read through these 12 categories. I'm not going to cover them all, but these are the categories, the columns that you create on your annual recurring revenue exercise, and you designate in the cell for each name on the list whether they fit these categories. Now, what we're setting up here is each of these 12 categories, including clients that have great potential for transactional revenue over the next 12 months, clients that have great potential to join your ideal client community, recurring revenue, you're going to create a process for each of these categories and each of these situations, each of these client scenarios. And so these are the columns. So with this sorted list, you draw the three lines of separation, the green line, the red line, and you have everyone below the green line is not going to receive comprehensive financial services. And then you draw a third line, a blue, we're calling it blue, but below the third line, the blue line, are your potential clients. So now you've got all the clients listed on your annual recurring revenue exercise, and now you're going to list all your potential clients. This is also known as your pool of potential clients. So it's important on this list, because you're going to create scenarios for your potential clients. Primarily, you're going to focus upon that column we were talking about, where you've got revenue, transactional revenue potential over the next 12 months. You can speculate about this column as soon as you know enough about the potential client to put a number in there. So think about this for a minute. You encounter a potential client. Maybe you don't know anything about them other than you know them through some, you met them at the Chamber of Commerce, or you're sitting on a charitable board with them, or however you know them. Maybe you really know very little about them, their financial affairs. Well, either through other people, in other words, kind of intelligence that you gather by asking other people about this individual, or in ongoing conversations over the years as you get to know this person a little bit better, as soon as you're able to, and sometimes it's that they actually, you have a conversation on the phone about what it is that you do for a living, you describe Advisor Pact, and you're talking about that, but somehow, some way, they begin to open up a bit and describe their financial affairs at the soonest point that you can estimate the potential for each, as far as revenue, for each potential client, you list it on the annual recurring revenue exercise, and you try to focus upon, so what would the potential revenue be for this, working with this potential client, revenue in the first 12 months. And so it just begins the process where you can start creating processes around individuals as you begin to understand their potential revenue. And so let me kind of hop over here to the toolkit. I want to show you on the toolkit kind of an example of this annual recurring revenue exercise in action. So when you get the full on instructions for the annual recurring revenue exercise, we're going to have, you know, a separate video for each of these sections. We're going to walk through it in great detail. It's going to make, we're going to make a lot of connections and create a clear logic path for you about, you know, what you're trying to measure and giving you examples of what you're measuring with the annual recurring revenue exercise. But here's just a little image and example of an ideal, an annual recurring revenue exercise. And so as you can see, here are the columns. Here are the clients and potential clients, ideal clients, non-ideal clients. We've added some categories just to show you how flexible this can be. Assets with us. So maybe you list how many assets are actually invested through your firm, through you. Revenue over the last 12 months, I like tracking that on my annual recurring revenue exercise. This is where you get to see if there's revenue, huge amounts of revenue for certain clients that you need to be aware of before you approach them with kind of your next proposal, which hopefully will be inviting them to join your ideal client community. Here's the key. It's this annual recurring revenue next 12 months. The whole spreadsheet is by default sorted by this column number 4. So annual recurring revenue next 12 months, that's what you want. We want you to keep your focus remaining on recurring revenue. That is the key that we want you to really focus upon. And here are the ideas of columns that you could create if you want to. So how about assets outside our firm? So if you have clients who have assets elsewhere, maybe you want to track that here. Potential ideal client, yes or no. So as that becomes clear, you'll have yes, no, maybe. You might have that cell completely blank in many people's cases. But as you become more aware of each potential client, then are they potential ideal clients? That's what this column could track. And then you start getting into these categories. I enjoy this client, recent commissions. We gave you all those 12 categories. Those are all situations that clients and potential clients fall within. And it's the purpose of tracking this is, imagine this. Imagine with each column there is a process to follow so that there's never any question on your part or anybody on your staff's part what the next step is with everybody on your list, whether they're an ideal client, whether they're a non-ideal client. There's a process. Ideal clients, in our world, we're going to recommend that you set ideal clients up on the three-meeting process. So ideal clients, it's the three-meeting process is the next step. That's an ongoing recurring process. Non-ideal clients, we recommend less meetings, one or two per year. If there's anything at all ongoing, it's better if there's none. Oh, there we end this section. We'll have to move on to the next. But just to wrap this up, you know, imagine having a process for non-ideal clients that's consistent. Imagine that there is a process for potential clients split out to each of these scenarios, a process depending upon if you know there's great potential. And you have documented a number, what that is, what's the potential revenue over the next 12 months. How about a process for potential clients that you don't know what the potential revenue is? It's obviously a process to get to know them better, schedule an initial client interview with them, some process to keep the ball rolling with people that you just really have literally no idea what their potential is. How about a process for clients that you don't enjoy working with? How about a process for each of the 12 categories, a documented process for what the next step is with everybody that fits every one of these scenarios that you're documenting? That's the end result of the annual recurring revenue exercise. So how do we use this ongoing? Well, I mentioned that my peers and I, we come back to this exercise every single time that we interact with an advisor. We ask to pull it up. Let's look at your annual recurring revenue exercise. Let's focus on whatever our intent is to focus on for that consulting session. If we're focusing on potential clients, we look at each of the categories, that what we do know about the potential clients and whether there is or there isn't a process in place for each of those potential client scenarios. That the idea is, keep coming back to this annual recurring revenue exercise. Make sure that you have as much information on there as you know, and that creates a scenario to fill in the gaps. What we're moving towards with potential clients is an initial client interview where you can give your best recommendation for each potential client situation. So a potential client comes in, if they meet your ideal client profile, you have a compelling process in place to identify that. We used the financial roadmap, Bill Bachrach's financial roadmap. That was the initial client interview process I utilized. Most of our Advisor Pack members utilize that method. But it's whatever method you use, and to identify if they meet your ideal client profile. And if so, make an invitation to the ideal client community. If not, offer your non-ideal client option, plan B. But all of this annual recurring revenue exercise, this is all we need at the consulting level to work with an advisor to organize and move through the process of building their business. It helps us understand exactly what to do with both clients and potential clients. And you as an advisor, without any consulting at all, if you'll set this annual recurring revenue exercise up the way we describe, and you make it your goal to create a process for every scenario, every category, every situation that a client or a potential client might fit into, then you too will see a lot of momentum pick up and increase in your client acquisition process. Let's talk about the advisor value score. So the advisor value score, this is a method of measuring the invisible. It's measuring an intangible. It measures three things. The advisor value score was developed to measure your indispensability and your value to clients. So this goes under a very simple premise that for you to get more referrals, you need to become more referable. For you to retain clients and for clients to ignore the other advisors in our industry who are whispering in your client's ear and would love to have your client come in and talk to them about the services they provide, the advisor value score helps you increase your indispensability. So clients have no interest in even interacting with any other advisor who approaches them to try to poach the business away from you. And so increasing your indispensability, you know, they would never risk losing you because you're so indispensable, and your value to clients. Like, what is it that would increase the level of the value in the client's mind of what they're receiving from you to the such a high level that they would never allow anyone that they know or love or trust to talk to any advisor other than you? So this is a specific method for you on an ongoing basis to track and increase your indispensability and your referability and the value that you provide to clients. So what is it? It's a simple three-question survey. It's a three-question survey that's designed to be given to every one of your clients. You will track ideal client results separately. So it's important that you have the results for your ideal client community tracked in separately. And there are two objective questions. That's usually known as multiple choice, so very quick. And one subjective question, which is usually responded to in one sentence or sometimes two or three, but it's very short. See, the problem with customer feedback surveys, just in general, is two things. One is they're overcomplicated. They take too long to take. And the second one is that clients suspect, because they have experienced it, that nothing ever happens as a result. So clients don't like customer client feedback surveys because they're too long, and most companies just don't do anything with the results. And that's what makes this advisor value score so valuable. It's short. It takes less than 5 minutes. It takes most clients 3 minutes to fill it out. So it's very short and sweet. And the other thing about it is that it allows you a measurement system to increase both your referability and your value to your clients, as well as your indispensability, which is the single greatest measure of your client retention. What intensity will your clients be concerned about remaining with you as their advisor? So takes less than 5 minutes. You give this survey to your clients after every single client progress meeting. So that's one of the important aspects of this, is it's ongoing. It's something that if it's, you track it like a stock, these three things. And if your score is rising, just like a stock, then your stock is rising. If your score over time is declining, then your score, then like a stock, it's less valuable. And remember, you're tracking both in indispensability and referability. So these are the two things that you're tracking, and from a client perspective. So you get it after every client progress meeting. That gives you the opportunity to track it on a per client basis and then across your entire client community. So the big number across your entire client community is valuable. But it's just as valuable to track over time the advisor value score for an individual client. Let's say you have Joe client coming in, Joe and Joan coming in. They take this survey, and if for the last 3 years, you know, they've ranked you very high on the value you provide, and they rank you very high on your indispensability, and then all of a sudden in this meeting, there's a hit to those numbers. They decline across the board a notch or two. Maybe not a lot, just a notch, maybe two notches. It's important for you to know that and recognize that. You will intuitively over time begin reacting to the advisor value score. And so it's important to track it on a per client basis and across your client community. And because you're getting this survey taken after every client meeting, that means your client likely knows that you know their responses. It's also important once a year to give this anonymously across your entire client base. In this case, you won't know individually the client responses, but by offering an anonymous opportunity to give feedback, this is the most reliable score that you'll get each year, and you use it to compare whether the scores you've been at recording are in alignment with the anonymous score. If they're far different, then that tells another story, that your clients are less honest with you when they're face-to-face with you taking this survey than they are anonymously. That's one possibility. So the idea is to establish and measure your indispensability, and to establish that indispensability is something that you is important to you. You're going to measure three things: your referability, your indispensability, and you're going to get actionable feedback with the advisor value score process to increase both your referability and indispensability. The question always when you get into this topic of getting feedback from clients is, okay, so I understand my score. I understand whether my score is going up or down. I do know some important information because of that. Question is, what do I do? Well, the advisor value score handles that. You get actionable feedback if you implement the exact way that we're describing. So it establishes referrals as your sole means of acquiring clients. So I realize that in this Advisor Pack monthly program, you are acquiring clients by whatever means you know how. You may be doing seminars. You may be trying to get other professionals like accountants and lawyers to give you other centers of influence to give you referrals. When I say this establishes referrals as your sole means of acquiring ideal clients, I mean establishes referrals by your clients. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it here because we're out of time. We only have about a minute to go here. But I will tell you that clients prefer to receive referrals from another well-served client. And so if you will establish this notion that I want to increase referrals by providing, by increasing my referability. In other words, I'm going to do more for my clients. I'm going to do a whole lot more for my clients. As a result, they're going to view what I'm doing for them as remarkable because I'm doing so much for them. And as a result of being remarkable, they will remark about me to others. That's the premise. And I'm telling you, because we've done quite a bit of research on this, that this is how ideal clients prefer to find you. You may receive some non-ideal client referrals here and there from other centers of influence and through seminars and other means that you're using to acquire clients. I'm throwing out on the table that your ideal clients, as a consistent means of client acquisition, are going to come to you as a referral from a well-served client, because clients would rather hear from another client all the remarkable things that you're doing. So I'm not going to give a big history on this, on the where the source of this came from, but there was an article that I read in the Harvard Business Review back in December of 2003. The article was called "The One Number You Need to Grow." It was by Fred Reichheld, who ultimately wrote a book called The Ultimate Question, and it's about something that he came up with called the Net Promoter Score. So the advisor value score is based on that, but we added some elements. So this just is the give you, by way of background, the history. It's here are the three questions. So this is on a ballot that you have your clients fill out before they leave your office after you've had your client meeting. The first one is, would you consider me to be indispensable? It's on a scale of 1 to 10. It's very clear to the client. Number 10, yes, I find you indispensable. 0, no, you're not indispensable to my personal financial affairs. And this is why you need to give them a little bit of privacy to fill this out. Many advisors just say, here, you fill this out. I need to check some things in the file. I'll be right back. And you just leave the room literally for less than 5 minutes, like 3 minutes is generally all it takes. Question number 2 of 3 is, and this is the Net Promoter Score, how likely is it you would recommend us to a friend? Again, scale of 1 to 10. 10, extremely likely. 0, not likely at all. And it gives them quickly, they can just, what's their feeling today? And then the third question, which is the actionable part of it, is you just say, what's the primary reason for the score you just gave? What's the most important improvement that we could make that would make you more likely to recommend us? And this is where they write in something. Now, some clients will leave it blank. Most clients will write something. They'll write whatever's top of the mind. What you're going to receive is actionable feedback and often very unique feedback. You'll be validating things that you've always suspected were important to clients. You'll identify some things that you did not think were important to clients that actually are. It allows you to float this trial balloon with other clients and do some further research, because here's a suggestion from an actual client of something that's potentially actionable that they're saying would make them more likely to refer you. And so this is the picture of what it looks like. It's a printed out piece of paper, 3 questions, takes less than 5 minutes to fill out. And I'm telling you, over time, this will increase your referability, the number of referrals you receive, and the indispensability of your services, which means your retention. The way you actually score this is interesting. So you go back, and each question is designed to focus on a different aspect. This one is your value to clients. So how likely is it that you would recommend us to a friend is another way of measuring the value that this client places in you. They would not go out on a limb and risk referring you to someone they care about if they did not value what you do. That's the premise. And the way you score this and the way you'll compile this is, once you get their score, if they scored a 9 or a 10, which is extremely likely to recommend to a friend, those are your advocates. A score of 7 or 8 is that they're uninvolved. They want to score you high, they're being polite, but in the research on this, 7s and 8s tend to be passive and not involved. They don't tend to do anything. And the score of 0 to 6 is really a fault finder. These are clients that are not your advocates, and it's really much the other opposite. So the way you actually calculate your advisor value score is you get your percentage of advocates. Those are 9s and 10s. And you subtract your percentage of fault finders. That's those that rank you with 0 to 6. So percent of advocates minus percent of fault finders, that's your advisor value score. 7 and 8s, you ignore completely. What I'm telling you is that if you will consistently update these three pieces of information on this advisor value score ballot, it will literally transform your business, and in shorter period of time than you realize. It'll increase the number of introductions to potential clients if you actually pay attention to the actionable feedback that they're giving you. It will increase your indispensability, which means clients will rebuff any other advisor that attempts to come after their business because they're so, and then on an increasing basis, they're so worried about losing you because you're indispensable. And it will also provide you with this actionable and sometimes very unique ideas for increasing the value you provide to your clients. And that's the advisor value score. You can implement it starting today. So what did we cover today? We firmly established your ideal client profile. We established, described the annual recurring revenue exercise as the most important tool in managing and organizing your client acquisition activities, and we went through the advisor value score. Hope you find it of value. We don't have any questions that came in over the transom during the session. We're 6 minutes over time. I apologize for that, and we look forward to talking with you next month. As always, if you have questions about how to implement and make the advisor pact to your clients, if you're encountering anything having to do with improving the value that you're providing to your clients and delivering truly comprehensive financial services, please get those questions to us. You can email us at rapidresponse@advisorpact.com, any question or issue that you're confronting, and we'll either get right back with you or we'll add your question to the list and we'll deal with it on next month's session. Until then, I'm Mark Little, and we wish you all the best in implementing.